The murder-suicide involving Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Jovan Belcher is once again bringing attention to the issue of contact sports and possible brain damage. Belcher's death is the latest in a series of suicides among current or former NFL players. Now a new study says years of hits to the head can lead to aggression, dementia, and suicidal thoughts.
Joining us for more is Chris Nowinski, co-director of the Center for the Study of Traumatic Encephalopathy at Boston University. And Chris, these head injuries lead to what's called this disease that we're talking about, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Who does that affect, and what are we now learning about how it progresses?
Well, we don't exactly know who it affects because we can't diagnose it in living people, but in this paper that was published yesterday, out of the first 85 brains in the brain bank of athletes and military veterans, 68 had the disease, including 33 of 34 former NFL players, 9 of 9 former college football players, 4 of 4 NHL players, and even 6 athletes who only played through high school football. So if you are exposed to years of repetitive trauma, you become at risk for this, but we don't know what other mechanisms are out there.
We'll never know, will we, if this is what Belcher might have had an impact on Belcher's actions, will we?
No. I mean, even if his brain was studied and you found the disease, you could never link some action like that to a brain disease. It just does highlight the issue, though, that repetitive hits to the head can change behavior, but to address that specific situation is impossible.
Is there any behavior, though, that you noticed from the Belcher case that would have gone hand-in-hand with this disease?
No. I mean, the disease does start to begin in younger people when they first get it with memory problems, or sometimes there can be executive functioning issues or potentially impulse control problems. As it progresses, those situations might become worse. You add mood disorders into it, eventually dementia in late stages, usually the person's over 50. But again, it's very tough, especially when you add in the alcohol and the drug issues and the lack of sleep. You don't know what could cause somebody to do something so terrible.
In this study of the 34 pro football players who were examined after their death, all but one had evidence of the disease. So what does that mean for the people playing the game now?
Well, this sort of analysis is not good for helping us understand what percent of the population is living with this. So what that means, though, is that the moves that have been made to make sports safer are a really important and we need to do more, because frankly, what we believe right now is if you aren't exposed to brain trauma, you don't get this disease. There's never been anybody who got this who wasn't exposed to extraordinary and abnormal brain trauma.
Right. So should this really give us a better idea or spur us in the direction of trying to address this problem? Because it's not just NFL players, it's parents worrying about their kids playing football, it's soldiers who are suffering brain injuries. I mean, where should we go from here knowing this information now?
Right. Well, this should really spotlight taking better care of our kids. The young brain is far more vulnerable to injury with regard to brain trauma. And so it really should help us. If you're a parent and you're choosing to expose your child to repetitive brain trauma through sport, there's a lot of things you need to know to keep them safe. And, some of that information can be, we put a lot of that into my recent book, Head Games, and a documentary based on it by the same name. But if you're going to put your kid out there, get yourself educated.
Chris Nowinski, co-director of the Center for the Study of Traumatic Encephalopathy at Boston University, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.